This deal allows the Wolves to have some cap space. Financial flexibility. When they go into free agency next week, they've got.
Oh, yes, the trade winds are swirling and general managers' phones are ringing. It's that time of year, friends. We've got recurring guest projected top five pick Jalen Suggs stopping by the jump today. What about Luka Doncic? Is he the best player in the world? That's what they're saying in Tokyo. We'll discuss that. A little Luka magic for you. And we're counting down Steph's top shots of the year. All that and more. So grab a glass of water. You're going to need it. The jump starts now.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Credit Karma.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, today joined in studio by the lovely, the talented, our NBA reporter and Warriors insider, Nick Friedell. Thank you, sir, for being here. It's so nice not to see you through a screen. I'm like,
it's so nice not to have a panic attack. My internet's going to go out at home.
Right. Well, speaking of that, future Hall of Famer Chris Bosh is going to be joining the show once we get some of the technical stuff worked out. So just stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, Nick, let's talk about trade season because it has returned. A deal went down yesterday. The Grizzlies sending big man Jonas Valanciunas and the 17th overall pick in Thursday's draft to the Pelicans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, two future first-round picks, including the 10th overall pick in Thursday's draft. This is all according to sources telling Woj. So who do you think benefits most from this deal, Nick?
Rachel, at first glance, I was like, well, New Orleans looks pretty good. Valanciunas can play. They got off a couple of mistakes in Adams and that Bledsoe deal. But then
get
I was
more
like,
money, freed up cap room.
You've got time to go after some more pieces. Mm-hmm. But then I look at what Memphis got back in those two picks. Mm-hmm. They hit all the time. You've got Ja, you've got Brooks, you've got Jaren Jackson, all the guys on that bench, that young core that has developed, they hit every time they take a swing. Right. So if they like somebody, and it's very clear that they do, in that top 10, it's going to be there for them. And this is a team that almost feels like a college program. They mm-hmm. plug guys in their system. They know how to play under Taylor Jenkins. Yep. Zach Kleiman knows which buttons to hit behind the scenes. So this group knows what to do. And I think this Grizzlies team is ready to take another big swing in the draft.
Well, let's stay with the Memphis side for a minute because the timeline for the Grizzlies, they have this great luxury, the idea that here you go, you have young stars who played so well early mm-hmm. that you can draft players now that are still on their timeline. I mean, that's crazy. Normally, by the time someone is as good as Ja Morant is, he's 5 or 6 years in. He's not just a couple years in. So this lets them kind of create even more of a talent nucleus all around the same age group. Now, on the Pelican side, it is fascinating. So they drop back 7 spots in the draft but get a ton more cap flexibility that will let them either match an offer sheet to Lonzo Ball or look for a point guard. But the bottom line in New Orleans is there is a win-now feeling there, which is not normally what you would expect just a couple years after you get a number one overall talent like Zion Williamson. But that pressure is already there on them, right?
But, Rach, the problem is,
and by win-now, I don't mean win a championship right now. I just mean, I don't know, get into the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about.
That might help things.
Have a winning record.
That might help things.
That is what I mean by win.
The issue for New Orleans, though, is what were they doing bringing in those deals in the first place? They've corrected some mistakes. That's all well and good. But who is coming to New Orleans? This has been a problem for years and years. Who's going there? You've got to develop your own guys, and now you've given up a couple more picks. So I understand that they're trying to win with Zion. It just seems like there's a lot of uncertainty, as there always is in that organization. And if this deal doesn't work, mm-hmm. and Valanciunas doesn't instantly come in and make a difference, then where do you go?
Well, I like the depth that Valanciunas gives them. And look, we got Chris Bosh, so let's get – hello, Chris Bosh. We got the technology to work. I'm very happy to see your smiling face. We are talking about this trade that went down yesterday. And it moves Jonas Valanciunas to New Orleans. And I was just talking about the extra dimension he gives them. You have played against him. The fact that he can shoot and had, I think, either we'll have to look at the stats, but I think it was either his best season or close to his best season ever this past season. How do you think he can help Zion Williamson?
Well, I mean, you know, you can definitely, he's one of those players you can plug in and be successful right away. He can stretch the floor, and he is a big body that can control the paint, rebound, you know, lay some wood in the lower region in the paint. The challenge, in my opinion, is how do you play him and Zion together? Mm-hmm. Zion played a lot of minutes at the five last year, and I think they did have some success with him picking and rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, look, he's one of the most tremendous, outside of Giannis, he's probably one of the most tremendous guys in and around the paint area as far as finishing is concerned. But I think, in my opinion, if you look at it, Memphis just wins this trade by far. They get more picks. You know, you get an even swap in bigs between Steven Adams and Valanciunas, but they also get Bledsoe. So he can be in a position to where he's coming off the bench and really aiding this fast, young Memphis Grizzlies team. And, you know, I think they have a tremendous upside right now. I think Steven Adams, you can plug him in right away. He's going to be able to get guys open. You know, for Ja Morant to have a big like Steven Adams, that's always a luxury because he's going to look to protect him and get his guys open. But all in all, they got more picks. They got pretty much an even trade on the bigs. And they got Eric Bledsoe in the deal and a top 10 protected pick. I mean, you have to say that Memphis walks away the winner in this one.
Well, I'm sure New Orleans feels like they got the better of the deal in terms of the big man, just because Valanciunas can do a little bit more dexterous on the court. But your point about Steven Adams, so well taken. And I know Memphis is not grit and grind officially anymore or even in their style of play. But I do think the people of Memphis who still have that leftover, we work hard, we're grimy, we do the work. I think they will really, really like having Steven Adams on their team. I want to switch over to what's going on here in Los Angeles. Kawhi Leonard recovering from ACL surgery. He also has a decision to make, though, regarding his player option for next season. He has the ability to opt out and become a free agent. He could opt in for one more year, just sort of kick the can down the road, or he could potentially sign an extension. Chris, you have been in this situation yourself. What do you expect Kawhi to do? Do you think that he'll remain with the Clippers in one of those variations?
Yeah, I think they should run it back. You can arguably look at this last season, and I'm sure Kawhi can say, man, we could have won an NBA championship if I don't go down. You know, they weren't 100% playing the Phoenix Suns, and, you know, you can potentially say that they could match up better with the Bucks in that final series. But him kind of not being able to finish the season and still them having the success that they had, you know, with Playoff P, making sure that he's doing what he needs to do. Rightfully earned. He came and he showed up, and I think they all put on display why Kawhi should return. They've got a great coaching staff. They've got great pieces. I think they can make a couple of more moves, maybe be active in the trade market a little bit. But you definitely want to run it back if if you're in that position. It's not easy to be a top four team in the West. Mm-hmm. And if you're on a top four team, I think you should stay put. I think you should retool it, and I think you know, they'll have a chance to be one of the best teams in the NBA and compete for a championship next year with a healthy Kawhi.
Rach, I'm with Chris, because if you're that close to a title, if you feel that comfortable about being at home, why would you not just stay, rehab, and then come back if you can at the end of the year? And if you can, you give yourself a whole stretch of being with the staff that, you know, you've developed at least some kind of comfort level with, and you've got your own people that can take a look at you whenever you want. If I'm Kawhi, I take that one more year. I see where I'm at a year from now. And if I can come back with a group that I know is that close to a title, I'm giving them a chance.
It's so hard because we just don't know how long he's going to be out. This injury has been a little mysterious the whole time. It was labeled a sprain or a strain, and then it was upgraded to say a partial tear. I don't know how much is a partial tear. Is it like 98% or is it 9%? We don't know what got repaired. We do know it requires surgery. And this is the kind of injury that could have him out for most of next season and then not rejoin the team until the playoffs, or maybe even sit out the whole year. It's just unpredictable, and we've seen that with Kawhi Leonard and his health, which then again makes you think maybe he will opt out but re-sign so he can have that security going forward. I do think we learned with Kevin Durant, though, a player who is of that caliber, no matter whether he's injured or not, people will want to sign him. They have some faith that he will get better and that is the guy that you want.
The money will always be there.
The money will be there. Yep. Let's talk about another guy who would like to command some big bucks. Kyle Lowry, also a free agent. 15 seasons of NBA experience, an NBA title on his resume. Definitely going to draw some attention on the free agent market. Of his 15 seasons, 9, of course, were played in Toronto, where he holds a number of franchise records. So, Chris, Kyle's really Mr. Raptor right now. Do you think that he will stay in Toronto, where you, of course, also played, or will end up going elsewhere?
Look, you know, Kyle is he's in such a unique position. I think he's one of the guys in this free agency pool that has the biggest decision to make. Yeah, does he go back to Toronto, or does he want to team up and try to get one more title? One of the fascinating teams that's out there that is really a dark horse and always a dark horse in free agency is the Dallas Mavericks. You have teams like the Lakers out there trying to get better. They can't sign him outright, but them trying to figure out how to get back on top. You know, having that veteran leadership at the point guard is tremendous and is vital to an NBA championship. And I think in Kyle's case, just the fact that he can spread the floor, he can shoot, he can get to the free throw line, drawing fouls the way he does. And for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to age. The older he gets, the more his game stays the same. It's incredible. But I think if I'm trying to compete for a championship and I want an automatic upgrade at point guard, you know, he's got the shooting, he's got the veteran leadership, he has the ability to run your offense, and he can be either a distributor or a facilitator of offense and shooting a lot of shots, and you've got to guard him. I think that's very important for the point guard position in today's league. He's in a very, very interesting situation. He's going to have a very difficult choice to make very soon, but I'm sure everybody's going to be knocking at his door trying to get better and upgrade at that position.
Philly. I want Philly this homecoming.
Too, well, he is a Philly guy, as you know.
You put him with Embiid, and you know what he's going to give you with Doc.
Yes.
Those guys together can make it happen. And Kyle Lowry is a leader. That group could use another voice in that locker room. Chris mentioned all the reasons why on the floor he can be that guy that everybody rallies around.
Yep.
But he's got the experience, he's got the talent, and at this stage of his career, Rach, he wants to win again.
Right.
Philly gives him that best opportunity, he goes home. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Sixers.
It also makes a potential Ben Simmons trade, which we've been discussing this week, that the Sixers are looking into, not necessarily going to make, but are looking into, a little bit less painful, because what you lose with Ben is an elite player who's so good on the defensive end. And Kyle Lowry is a guy, if you brought him in, well, Chris, you know, from going up against him, the man can defend, right? I mean, he just brings that toughness and tenacity to any team.
Well, I mean, he's a champion, right? He's going to do those things necessary to win. And I can't believe I didn't think of Philly. Philly is a good one. You know, yeah, going, bringing the Broad Street Bullies back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Philly is in a position where they felt that they could have competed a lot better. They didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So they've got a lot to prove. Embiid's got a lot to prove. And, you know, with Daryl Morey and Elton Brand at the helm of that organization, they want to win now, too. So expect them to make some big moves as well. But I like that. Kyle Lowry to the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't believe I didn't see that one.
Although you did throw some cat mechanics in your initial answer, which I was very impressed with. So nice on you for the whole sign and trade thing that you were throwing in there as well. Kyle Lowry, I just want to note, is 35 years old. So that may factor into some teams' thinking, although he had a lighter season. Is that what we should call it? Last year in Tampa, there was a lot of golf played. There was a lot of being held out of games so that they finished a certain way. I don't know what that's called in the NBA. I can't quite remember. But yes, it will be interesting to see what Kyle Lowry does. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit Steph Curry. We've got his top five plays of this season, so you know that's good. But we will move on to a discussion as well of the Warriors' strategy just 2 days before the NBA draft. Dave Friedel with the inside scoop on that. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. This is from the bubble last year. Donovan Mitchell.
Shot. The defense was really good.
Donovan all behind the back. Oof.
He was so much fun to watch in the bubble, and then, of course, carried it right through this past season.
If only they could start winning in the playoffs, Rach. Then everybody would take notice.
Challenge, right?
He's awesome. You gotta win in the postseason.
They won. Time. time to run it back, friends. We're showing you Steph Curry's top plays of the season. So buckle up, because number five, beating the shot clock. Woo! Sorry, Kings. I mean, come on.
The coolest part about all these.
I still don't get watching him play.
It's amazing, right?
All of these plays, guys. You look down at the bench, and the reaction was just insane, because everybody's going, I can't believe he's doing this again.
Again, number four, up and under versus the Celtics.
Hey.
This man's got other things in his bag besides a jumper, just saying. Look at that handle.
He's an incredible finisher, too. He doesn't get enough credit for how he can finish the ball around the rim. It's incredible.
And he built up his strength so much this past season,
he was
able to fight more.
He puts in that work every day on all that stuff.
Number three beats the first quarter buzzer in San Antonio with a little giddy up there at the end.
The amount of confidence that these guys have playing alongside him when they know he can drop those kind of shots. Juan Toscano-Anderson said, hey, it's like being in a fight with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know you've got your guy.
Side. Well, Chris, talk about finishes. Look at that circus layup. Come on.
Hey, you know, and let me ask you a question. Is this good defense in everything that we're watching, you know, defense that he's beating? It's good defense, right?
There's four guys there.
I remember after that game, I was asking if it was like from the Come Fly With Me video.
This was amazing. I was in the arena for this. Lefty shot versus the Celtics.
Come on.
This is like the Inigo Montoya and the Princess Bride. Oh, I forgot. I could do this with my left hand as well.
Yeah, I'm left-handed.
I'm left-handed, by the way. Chris, that's amazing.
Kerr got on and just started laughing.
Right?
Everybody just laughs at the end because they've seen him do it so many times.
So Steph Curry, of course, look. It's not like anybody forgot about Steph Curry, but there was such a rough Warriors season the season before. This year, he was allowed to be Steph, especially once James Wiseman got hurt and the way they were running that offense changed. And with draft day now just 2 days away, the Dubs have decisions to make about how to build around him. They have the number 7 and 14 picks in the draft. They do have a young stud in James Wiseman. They also expect Klay Thompson back next season. So there's a lot to be optimistic about. But they don't feel yet, oh my gosh, this is a championship team all over again. Just bank it. We're good. There are different paths they can go to try to improve. So, Nick, you are as close to the Warriors as anyone at ESPN. What are they looking to do on this pivotal week? And then what do you think they can do? Because those are two different questions.
Rachel, first one is Bob Myers is going to live on the phone.
Okay.
In the next few days. And he admitted as much when we talked to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's saying everything can change in a matter of moments. Everything goes up to the deadline when you're ready to make that pick, more so than any other point that he can remember in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, in the end, I still expect the Warriors to make both these picks. Because there's
not be
just,
able to trade them.
They're going to try. I think they'd love to pair one more veteran with Steph, Klay, and Draymond heading into the new year. But where's that guy?
Right.
I mean, that guy in theory would be a guy like Bradley Beal. And there's been a lot of speculation around him for over a year potentially going to the Warriors. But there's no indication yet that he would move from the Wizards. And so knowing that, I just don't know who's out there who's going to make them that much better when you're giving up the draft capital that they would have to in order to make that move. So they're going to continue to work the phones. I know Bob and his staff have been on it the last couple weeks. But in the end, when we're sitting there on Thursday, I'd expect them to make both those picks.
What about you, Chris? What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting market. You know, they do have some flexibility as far as making a trade. They're already pretty much capped out.
Yep.
So they won't be able to sign somebody outright. They will have to be very creative in the trade market if they want to make that move. But I like the team that they have right now. Anytime you have a healthy Klay, hopefully, and a healthy Steph Curry, you can almost put anybody out there and win a lot of basketball games. For them, it's championship or bust, and you definitely want to maximize Steph and Klay's years that they have in their prime. But with that said, I think they're in a tremendous position to you know, really add some 3-and-D guys. They just have to strengthen what they have right now. And if I'm Jeff Wiseman, you know, I know I'm kind of breaking off right now.
James,
young fella. James Wiseman. Excuse me. But when you are in a position like that and you have those two shooters, pick and roll. Pick and roll. I wouldn't shoot a jumper. I would watch, you know, all the tapes I can on Giannis right now and say, okay, how can I finish close to the basket. How can I get as many dunks per game as I can possibly muster? Because if he sets screens and works on his game as far as getting those guys open and diving to the rim, he will make them better. Their team will be better, and Draymond will pass him the ball. So all he has to do is make sure he's working on his game. They need to work on the continuity of what they have. Mm-hmm. They need to play defense.
Yes.
Because they're going to be able to score the ball and really just work with what they have and hopefully bring in some young talent. But like I say, look for them to continue to maybe be aggressive all the way up until the trade deadline next year.
Well, first of all, James Wiseman, if you're out there, that is Hall of Fame advice you are getting from Chris Bosh. So enjoy that. And before we got to go to break, but before, Chris, as someone who was part of forming a super team based on your Team USA experience and getting to know guys, do you think that Draymond Green was trying to recruit Bradley Beal when they were in training camp together in Las Vegas for Team USA? Do you think maybe some of those conversations might have happened, at least in the Draymond direction?
Draymond is always trying to recruit. Trust me, he's got three rings, and when you have three rings, you want to get four.
There you go. Boom. All right. Coming up on The Jump, top five projected pick, Jalen Suggs is going to join us. What team does he have his eye on? We'll discuss. Don't go anywhere.
Are you ready for the beaches? Are you ready for the weekend? Are you ready for the summer?
Our next guest figures to have his name called early in Thursday's draft. The man is on top of the Empire State Building right now, and well-deserved. Gonzaga guard Jalen Suggs, welcome back to the show. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Nice to see you both.
Woo! What a perch you've got up there. You are joining us on behalf of Wilson, which is going to be the NBA's new official game ball, starting with this upcoming 75th anniversary season. And you have a little advanced knowledge, friend. You played with a Wilson ball during your run to the national championship game this past March. So I know how particular you guys are about what you shoot with. What makes this new ball a good one to hoop with? Why is the rest of the NBA going to be happy when they get their hands on it?
It's perfect. You know, it's a great basketball, you know, to start with. You know, of course, basketball players are extremely particular, you know, and a bad ball, you know, is definitely something that bothers us on the court. But, I mean, a great ball. And, you know, playing with the Wilson in college, you know, even in high school and AAU, you know, it's kind of like it's making a transition with me to the NBA. So, man, couldn't be more happy. I got to use it during my pre-draft process and loved it. So, super excited.
Jalen, Mike Schmitz here. First of all, just want to say big fan of the way you approach the game, your competitiveness, your toughness. I think you're a great example for the next generation of players. But want to ask you, what are the biggest things you think you can bring to the next level?
Of course, you know, you mentioned my thank you. And you mentioned my competitive spirit, you know, and my approach. I think that couples with leadership. You know, in the locker room, on the floor, you know, I'm going to talk my talk and I'm going to go back it up, you know, and I think that's why people gravitate, you know, towards me as a leader in the locker room, you know, and then just my versatility, you know, guarding 1-3, some of the best players in the league night in and night out, you know, taking command of an offense, you know, and something that, you know, people haven't seen too much that, you know, I'm very confident I can do, you know, is create my own shot and knock it down. So, you know, just super excited, you know, to get to the next level, you know, and show that.
Well, look, it's going to become official this Thursday. We're counting down. However, you are leaving college, and I wanted to get, before you do, I wanted to get your reaction to the NCAA allowing student athletes to pursue name, image, and likeness deals. And the people of Gonzaga would like to know if you would have maybe stayed longer if those rules had been in place during your time there.
You know, I think we can leave that to what-if scenario along with football, but I'm extremely happy, you know, for NCAA, for the players. I think it was great that they passed it. You know, just hoping that a lot of the athletes, you know, to take advantage of it, you know, and do it the right way, you know, go about it the right way. But I'm happy for them, you know, and the opportunities that this opens up for everybody.
Jalen, I know you're a big-time football player, quarterback. I'm curious, what elements of your success on the gridiron could really translate to the hardwood? Like, where do you see parts of your football success showing up most on the basketball court?
Of course, the physicality, you know, just the way that I embrace contact, going to the basket, defending, you know, the physicality that I play with. You know, definitely translate, you know, from the defensive end in football, you know, to basketball. And then offensively, I mean, just my vision, you know, and IQ and being a quarterback, you know, seeing passing lanes, seeing windows, you know, having the ability to fit it through there, you know, I'm putting my teammates in the best position to succeed. You know, little things like getting a ball in a shooter's pocket for a shooter. You know, you might not recognize, you might not work on it that much, but, you know, for a shooter, it's a big thing. So, I think those are the two biggest things that translate from football players over to the NBA.
It's so interesting, Jalen, because I think for the past 10 years or maybe even more, a lot of kids have specialized just in one sport from an early age. But there's so many studies out now that the kids who did what you do, who do play multiple sports, do better in your chosen sport. So we will be looking for you with that in basketball. I know that no one in this draft wants to be compared to current players. You're your own man. But I do want to know who you grew up watching. What player as a youngster did you try to model your game after?
I watched a ton of people, you know, and picked things from different people. You know, I watched Derrick Rose. Me and my dad loved watching Michael Jordan, as someone who we studied a lot. And, you know, guys today like Jrue Holiday, Damian Lillard is one of my favorites. You know, and that's just to name a few, you know, little things that I picked up from the game and, you know, try to emulate them on.
And Jalen, you're going to live on one shining moment really for the rest of your career based on, you know, the big shot that you made in the NCAA tournament. I'm curious, what do you remember about that shot, and how often are you asked about it?
I'm asked about it all the time, you know, and it's brought up all the time. It's funny, man, just, you know, those are shots you practice in the gym, or not practice, that you just mess around with. You know, now to be in the moment, you know, and be able to live that out and jumping on the table, you know, I could, you know, see my family, see my friends who were there at the game, and share that moment with them and my teammates. Man, it was so special. Man, you know, I've watched it a couple of times by myself, you know, just reminiscing and looking back, you know, on the season. So, you know, really fun just to be able to be able to be etched into March Madness history.
And this is a crazy week upcoming for you, Jalen, which is evidenced by the fact that we are talking to you on top of the Empire State Building. But in addition to getting drafted on Thursday, you are going to then go to a city. I think sometimes guys are so excited to get to the pros, they haven't thought through all the way that, oh, wait, I'm going to find out where I'm going to spend up to the next 7 years of my life. Our latest ESPN Plus mock draft has you going fourth overall to the Raptors. Do you have any reaction to maybe ending up in Toronto? And do you have your eyes on any particular city or team you'd like to go to?
I think any city, honestly, in the league, I will embrace, you know, and I'll go in and bring my humbleness, bring my competitiveness, you know, just bring my positive spirit to the city, you know, winning culture. You know, I look at the finals this year in Milwaukee, you know, the NFL, you know, just the way they celebrate, the way they have the parade and share that with the entire city, you know, because they back them, you know, through all the ups and downs. That's what I'm looking forward to most. So whether that's, you know, whoever it may be in the draft, you know, come Thursday, I'm extremely excited about it.
Well, that's great. I mean, look, you saw during college what a rabid fan base can be. We have some great fan bases around the NBA. I know they're going to embrace you. The first 100 official Wilson NBA game balls will be available for purchase at Wilson.com on Thursday. Jalen's going to be repping them. And Jalen, you will be at the draft on Thursday night. Best of luck, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Must be nice on the top of the Empire State Building. Thank you also to Mike for joining the show. Coming up, we'll get Nick and Chris back and talk a little bit about KD. He says chemistry on Team USA is good. Is that BS or real talk? One of our favorite games. Back next on The Jump.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Oh, Doc. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, rejoined by Nick Friedell, Chris Bosch, and I want to play one of our favorite games here. It's an Olympics edition, friends, of BS or Real Talk. We give you the quotes, you give us the emojis. So let's start with Patrick Ewing, of course, part of the 92 Dream Team. Did I mention he played at Georgetown? Have I said that 2,000 times on the show? He played at Georgetown. He was very good. He was asked about Team USA losing to France in the opening game of these Olympics. Here is what the Hall of Famer told the New York Post. Quote, "It is harder to play now because of the Dream Team. All the current players grew up looking up to us and watching us dominate the rest of the world, but the rest of the world caught up." So, Chris, you have played in the Olympics yourself. Is that BS or real talk that the rest of the world has caught up to the Americans?
I made my own sign.
Okay.
I'm going to just go ahead and put that up.
Yes.
All right.
We've got signs here in the studio.
There you go. Look, yeah, the rest of the world has caught up, and yeah, Patrick Ewing, it's your fault. Everybody watched the Dream Team. Yep. Everybody wanted to be the Dream Team, myself included. And just to have a chance to compete in the Olympics, compete for your country, and have a chance to medal, it's nothing like that. And to be able to see what they were able to do for the game of basketball around the world, I mean, come on, they got enshrined as a team into the Hall of Fame. That's yep. how impactful that team was. And, you know, they left, there was game film from that, you know. So Tony Kukoc, Dirk Nowitzki, Luka Doncic, like we're about to talk in a minute, they were able to see, you know, they had their own players in their own countries that were very good, but then they were able to see that, hey, I can make the NBA and I can play in it. And now we've reached a competitive landscape to where it's about the team sport. Mm-hmm. These teams have been playing together since they were teenagers, and they would love nothing more than to win a gold medal for their country. And that's what we're up against with Team USA.
Yeah.
Guys, I still say it's BS.
Really?
I still say it's BS. And here's why. Because all these different players have watched all of the USA guys, like Chris mentioned, for years and years. There's not a fear of them anymore.
Right.
But Team USA has the most talented players in the world.
Right.
They just don't know how to play together. It takes them a lot of time to figure it out, especially these days. I still think they'll get it together. They have Kevin Durant.
I've said this for three weeks.
They're going to find a way.
Here's why I'm not worried.
They're going to find a way.
Because they have Kevin Durant. And look, that doesn't mean that I think that they're an automatic for the gold.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't worry about them if they have Kevin Durant, because as he has reminded us, do you know who I am? He said, I'm Kevin Durant. I will say, I think the rest of the world has caught up that if Team USA is having a bad day, Team USA is vulnerable in the way that maybe they weren't before. But look, the fact that you have the last 3 years, both the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year awards have been won by players who are not American, that tells you where the rest of the world stands in terms of this sport. You mentioned the chemistry, Nick. Kevin Durant spoke just today in Team USA media availability, and here was his answer to a question on the chemistry. Take a listen.
I want chemistry. Said chemistry good. We still got good shots. We got each other good shots. It's just the fact that it makes them, I think, that first half. Plenty of times we're up 7-8 and bench like you're making warm shots. We can easily be up. And that's what I'm moving the basketball, trying to find out. I think we did that all night. It's just a matter of getting it.
Look, one of KD's great talents is that he fits in with everybody, right? I mean, he fits anything, anyone. So I expect him to have an easy chemistry fit. But, Nick, is that BS or real talk for the entire team?
Break. This team's been together for like 3 days total on the whole.
Right.
Holiday and Middleton and Booker have been there for about 2 seconds.
Right.
How could Kevin or anybody else know how great the chemistry is? I think they want to like each other. I think they want to play well. But, Chris, you live this. Why are all these guys getting in this moment and deferring so much after being so dominant individually on their own teams?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a different game. People have to realize that sometimes the FIBA game is a lot different. And, you know, when you're playing in this position to where it's not All-Star Weekend, it's not some kind of charity game, this is real basketball, there is pressure. And when you play for USA, it is pressure. You have to win. There's gold medal or bust. And being thrown in that position, having no continuity, they don't have it. They haven't had a chance to have team chemistry. I mean, even when we won the gold medal in 06, that team was together for 3 years.
Right.
Every summer, we went back to Vegas. We practiced. We worked on our plays. We worked on our strategies. We worked on our defense. We had the same coaching staff. These guys are in a different position to where we were kind of like, you know, they were in the instances in the 2000s and late 90s to where we're sending in our best players. We can talk about the talent, but as far as team continuity, trust, and most importantly, being able to go to certain situations when things get tense, those are the challenges that they're going to have to face. And even for us, as much as we played together, that gold medal team game against Spain, which was a great team, we had to beat those guys, you know, so it's not going to be easy. We can't, we're not in a place to where we can just send in, you know, the SEALs anytime and just get it done. These countries are not afraid of us anymore. And they want to win too.
Yeah, for sure. And look, we've had sort of corrections in the Team USA program, right? So when the college kids weren't dominating anymore, we sent in the Dream Team. And then that worked, that everyone just kind of showed up and played basketball and was great. Then after 2004, and that team ended up with the bronze medal, the idea of what you're talking about, Chris, and you were part of that program, that we needed to have an actual continuity, the idea that summer after summer you guys would be together, play together. Not able to do that because of COVID this year and the altered NBA schedule, and I think we're seeing the results. But again, they have Kevin Durant, so not an easy gold medal, but I'm not going to worry until there's
They've
time
got
to
a
be
chance,
worried.
Right?
They got a shot. They got a shot. I'm just saying, that kid's pretty good. Lastly, Luka Doncic, also pretty good. 48 points in his Olympic debut for Slovenia. Those came against Argentina, caught the attention of their head coach, Sergio Hernandez, who spoke very highly of the 22-year-old. Here is what he said. Quote, I said this 2 years ago, he is the best player in the world, including the NBA. And if there was any doubt in my mind, there is no doubt anymore. Chris, are you ready to say Luka being the best player in the world right now is BS or real talk?
Well, we're going to have to give that title to Giannis. let's be respectful of the NBA championship and the two-time MVP. You know, but with that said, look, if he hit me for 48 games in a game with less minutes,
yeah,
I would say he's the best player in the world, too. you know, Luka has a tremendous upside. I mean, he's been doing it. He's been consistent. And, yeah, he looks older. But, yeah, the fact that he's only 22.
That's insane.
And putting up numbers like this. And, like I told you, the FIBA game is different.
Yep.
It's hard to score 48 points in a FIBA international game. You have to give credit to his talent and his focus, really, because I'm sure that he wants to do well for Slovenia. And he's going to be very, very pumped up to display his talent in these Olympics.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think?
Rich. Huge. All the way. This is ridiculous. Come on now. Giannis, Steph, LeBron, Lucas.
Kevin Durant.
KD. I mean, we can go down the line. I'd take Dame right now over Luka. He is a really, really good player. But he's not the best player in the world. There's so many other guys I'd take before him. And I think Mark Cuban's going to put in a call to make sure that Sergio can get on the payroll in some
right,
way.
Right, so they could add in.
And keep pumping up Doncic the whole way.
There you go. All right, coming up, projected number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, is going to sign with Nike. How big a deal is this? Stick around. You're watching the Jump. To the Jump, Woj reporting the expected number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, has agreed to an endorsement deal with Nike, believed to be the highest earning shoe deal among players in his draft class. Chris, is this a big deal to you?
You know, not really. They have a track record for signing the number one pick and, you know, throwing a lot of money at him. So he'll be in a position right where he's supposed to be. Not much news there.
Not yet. I want to see how many Air Cades get sold, y'all. Because if there are a lot of them to be had, great. If he can pull in shoes like Kyrie, great. But not yet. I want to see how big of an impact his game has on the shoe game.
Those Kyries are still some of their biggest sellers. It's really remarkable. Every time he changes teams, they go up again because people want some of the new colorways. It's very impressive. All right, I want to revisit the trade we discussed at the top of the show. Here are the details again. So look, moving forward, if they move Eric Bledsoe and they freed up some cap money, so how does that impact Lonzo Ball's restricted free agency deal and sort of how he's going to go out? Because he will get offers from other teams. They will have to decide whether to match.
Rich, it's never felt like this relationship was that strong. I just wasn't sure if it was going to last all the way. Maybe there's a change of heart for Lonzo, but it seems like there are a lot of teams that are going to come after him. I know one team in Chicago, Illinois, would love to have a chance to get him. I don't see it long term.
What about you, Chris? What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, you know, restricted free agency is always such an interesting thing. The Pelicans are in the driver's seat. But then again, expect Lonzo Ball to really go out there and try to market himself, get on a good team, and get a good offer. That's the first thing you want to do. So he's going to treat free agency as if he's not returning or returning. Who knows? But, you know, with that said, if the Pelicans decide to mesh and maybe further down the line want to say they can trade him or make some sort of move for him later, they can do that. But when you're in the restricted free agency, you know, it's a tough position to be in. And with that said, look, Zion Williamson is going to have to play with somebody. They're going to have to put bodies on the court. I don't know who their point guard is going to be. So they're going to have some, you know, some decisions to make. But we'll see what kind of offers that Ball gets first. And then they'll probably trickle down from there.
I was actually surprised they didn't extend him last summer just because the chemistry with him and Zion has actually been pretty good. Now, they played Zion more at that point center position, so maybe looking for something a little bit different from the guard position. It will be interesting if he goes, if Josh Hart goes, that clears up $36 million in cap room for the Pelicans. But who do they then get with that cap room?
We will
be watching. We'll see you on The Jump tomorrow and all this week for draft, free agency,